Let's just bow together in prayer. We're going to talk to the Lord and just ask the Lord to be with us and give us a good time together today in his house. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer. We're glad that we can speak to thee. We rejoice that we're able to talk to thee just as children to their father. We thank you, Father, for the access you've given to us. We marvel today that we, who are but mere mortals, can approach the eternal throne of the sovereign God of all the universe. And we rejoice, Father, in that opportunity. We ask thee to teach us to pray. We ask thee today to help us in our prayers. We pray that you'll guide us too in the requests that we present before thee. We come, Father, at the outset to worship thee and to praise thee. We remember today that you're our maker, that without thee was not anything made that was made. And we remember, Father, that you have made us as well. And we bow humbly, Father, when we recognize that fact. And we want to give thee praise for every blessing. We can say with the psalmist, you're the God that daily loads us with benefits. We thank, Father, and remember, take a moment or two just to consider all the many blessings you bestow upon us every day. The hymn writer said, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So we acknowledge, Father, all the provision you've made for us in this past week. We're conscious of many in other lands across the earth who are not as well off as we are. We think, Father, of multitudes in great poverty. We want to pray that you'll touch our hearts to consider them, ever to be mindful of their needs. We pray that you'll bless those that have gone forth from our land to labour in other countries as missionaries of the gospel. Pray that you'll keep them safe in these days. And we pray, Father, that you'll encourage them in their labours. We want to pray, Father, especially for the boys and girls, the young people of our congregation. Thank you for all that are present with us today. Thank you for the Sabbath school and the Bible classes, the word of God that has gone forth, for all that have been present and assembled. And Lord, our prayer is that you'll use your word. We thank you for the encouragement that the Saviour gave, that even these little ones can come to faith in thee, that they can believe in thee. So we want to pray, Father, that early in this new season, the Lord's work here in Armagh, that some of the children, the young people, will be brought to Christ in salvation. Pray that you'll lead our children on with thyself. We ask thee, Father, that they'll grow physically. You'll keep them in health and strength. But we want to pray that they'll grow spiritually too, in their understanding of your word. And Father, we pray as the years go by that you'll show them very clearly your will for their lives. Even the young people in the meeting today, those that are facing the future, the rest of their lives, Lord, guide them very clearly how you would have them to live during their days here upon this earth. Bless the Sunday school, we ask. Remember our teachers, our Sunday school superintendent, the Bible class teachers as well. And Lord, we pray you'll strengthen their hands. We pray that you'll answer their prayers. We pray that you'll give them much fruit for all of their labours. And we want to pray, Father, that this city, this community, and even as we've just prayed, Father, other lands might feel the benefit of our Sabbath school in years to come. And we pray there will be some of these children that you will call even to be missionaries of the cross. So hear, Father, our prayers and our cries. Do be with us. Give us help today in all that we do. May we be able to testify that the Lord is our helper. We offer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of choruses together. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. The words will come up on the screen for us. So I want everybody to join in. Generally, we have the children up at the front, but we thought it best, just with the restrictions that are still in place, that if the children stayed in the pews with their families and we all join in in the singing of the choruses this morning. So we'll sing these words together. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it. Very good. The second chorus is one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. So the words are coming up for you, and you're singing very well. There we are. Okay. Nice. Remember, one door and only one. There's only one way to heaven, boys and girls, and that's by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said when he was here on earth, I am the door. So there's no other door, there's no other way, there's no other entrance into heaven but by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to read a few verses to you. If you have the Bible with you, we encourage you to turn to the Bible reading. It's in 1 Kings chapter 3, and it's in keeping with our Bible story just a little later. We'll sing a couple more choruses later on in the service. So if you turn up in 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to begin to read in verse 4, and we're going to read a little section of this story. I want you to think very carefully, listen carefully to the reading. Because maybe during the story I might ask you a question or two. So if you listen carefully, if you follow in the reading, you might know the answers to those questions. So 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 4. And it says, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honour, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. So we're just going to end the reading there at the close of that 15th verse, and we pray the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. We take a moment or two just to bring the necessary announcements. We want to welcome everyone who has come along to the Sunday School prize giving. We want you to know that you're very welcome to the Lord's house, and it's in the Saviour's name that we bid you welcome to this special Sabbath morning service. We're especially glad to see all the children and all the young people. We like to hear the children present with us in the Lord's house. So we especially welcome all the boys and girls that have come along to the prize giving today. Just to emphasize that there are prizes for all the Sunday School and Bible class. We'll not be giving them out. We'll not be handing them out. So what you do is, we did this previously at one of the meetings, you come up afterwards with your parents. Remember to give everybody a wee bit of space, give them plenty of distance. But all the prizes have been prepared, and they're here on the communion table, and the names of all the children and young people are on them. And there's books here as well. Remember, for the little ones, the infants, those that are not yet old enough to be at Sunday School, we'd like you to get a little gift today as well. So before you go home, after the service is over, everybody come up and be sure to get your prize. Remember, there was no Sunday School last year at all. You weren't able to come. We missed you coming along. It's lovely to see so many that were gathering in Sunday School, even to take a little look into the Sunday School this morning. But the committee wanted to give all the children and young people a little gift just to acknowledge their faithfulness in coming along to the services. And you listened very well when we were giving all the children's addresses over previous months. So there's a little gift and an encouragement for all the children and young people this morning. Remember the service tonight, the service at 6:30, the gospel service. I'll be preaching myself at that meeting. Also, just to emphasise, we'll be recommencing the prayer meeting before the evening service tonight. That'll be at 6:00 downstairs in the church hall. So we do want to encourage you to come and join with us at that prayer meeting, just to pray for the Lord's help and his blessing upon the preaching of his word. So keep that in mind, 6:00 tonight, the prayer meeting before the evening service at 6:30. Remember the meetings through the week, God willing. Tuesday at 7:15, both bright hours here in the church, also down in the band hall in Killalea. Wednesday night, the midweek service. I hope to be here to preach at that meeting myself. Keep in mind the radio broadcasts every Wednesday afternoon on Radio Star Country, 981 Medium Wave. Continue to pray for those. I'm responsible for the messages again throughout the Wednesday afternoons of October. Just to highlight the Youth Fellowship on Friday night at 8 o'clock. The speaker this Friday night is one of our new youth leaders, Miss Hannah Carson. So I want to encourage the young people to come along to hear Hannah, to encourage her with your presence. Encourage all of the young people of the church to give their support to the Youth Fellowship meetings on a Friday night. Also, just to highlight that the Drumhillery Primary School is starting to have the ministers back to speak at assemblies. That's beginning in the month of October. So I'll be there this coming Friday morning at assembly time, 25 past nine. That's the first day of October. They're not having all the children at all of the assemblies, just to allow the children to space out. Those that go on a Wednesday morning will get the younger classes. Those that go on a Friday morning will get the older classes. So we're very pleased about that, encouraged that the schools are been able to open up again for assemblies. It's a great outreach for us as a church. Remember to keep that in your prayers as well. Saturday morning from 9:30 onwards, as generally is the case, the church will be open for those who want to bring items along for the harvest and those that want to help with the decorating, the preparing of the church for the harvest services. That's Saturday from 9:30 onwards. Next Lord's Day, the 3rd of October, is our harvest Thanksgiving services, both meetings at the usual times, 11:30 and 6:30. The preacher in the morning will be the Reverend Dane Kenny, the minister of our Hillsborough congregation. The meeting, or the preacher at the evening meeting, will be the Reverend James Porter, the minister of the Enniskillen Church, very well known to us here, was in Market Hill for quite a number of years, and helped out here in the congregation during the time of my illness. So we're looking forward to the fellowship, or renewing fellowship, with both of these brethren next Sabbath day. The singer at the evening meeting is Mrs. Carla Hunter from the Macrofell Church. Carla was formerly Greg. She's been here with us several times in the past. We will just be having services on the Lord's Day again for the harvest. There'll be no meeting on the Monday evening, so just harvest services next Lord's Day. And there will be retiring offerings for the building fund of the church following both services. Keep that in mind. The plates at the door that are there for all of the offerings at present, if you're giving to the building fund, remember to put that in an envelope and mark it specifically for the building fund of the church. Take a wee look at the literature as you're going from the services as well. The Vision magazines, the Watching and Waiting magazines, the other leaflets, the flyers that have been recently produced by the Mission Board as well. Just to highlight the Missionary Council, their annual weekend, the 19th to the 21st of November in the McArboy House Hotel down in Portrush. There are leaflets there at both doors that give you all the details, the price and so forth. And that leaflet is also the application form if you're planning to go fill that out and send it off as soon as possible. Just remind you again that by law, churches are now required for administrative purposes to have a data protection policy. That's to govern how we handle the personal data that we hold for everyone in the congregation. That includes even the basic details such as your phone number, your addresses, email addresses, and so forth. So we're now implementing that policy as we're required here in the congregation in Armagh. Remember the forms that many of you have received already. The forms contain all the details of what you need to know. There's the privacy note that you fill out, your name and address, and so on. And then after you've dated it, signed it, you tear off part of that, the part that you filled out, and return that to our brother Billy McCrum. You keep the other part with all the details. It's important that you hold on to that section of the form. Remember that there's family packs for those with children, and if you do need any help, any clarification, speak to our brother Billy McCrum about that. And we would appreciate your help just in implementing the data protection policy here for the congregation. Some folk, just to ask you to remember, keep in mind our brother and sister Wallace and Lily, they are feeling much better. We're very thankful for that. Prayer has been answered for them. They've asked us on their behalf to thank everyone in the congregation. Thank you for your prayers, faithfully remembering them. Many of you phoned them. They were greatly encouraged by that. Quite a few as well left gifts, food and so on for them at the house. So they've been overwhelmed just by the love and support of the congregation, and they've asked us to express their deepest thanks to you for that. Remember Mrs. Gillespie, Mrs. Mary Gillespie, she is home from hospital, and we're very thankful for that. Remember the Reverend Goods, making slow but steady progress in his recovery from the COVID after 17 days in the hospital. The Reverend David Smith, the minister of the Ban Bridge Church, is currently in hospital with the COVID, especially having great difficulties with his breathing. So remember the Reverend Smith. Miss Joyce Waltz, keep Joyce in mind as she recovers from her recent knee surgery. She is making steady progress, and we're very thankful for that. Also remember Matthew and Leanne Higgins. They were blessed with their first child just yesterday, a little boy that they've named Joel Mark. So we want, as a congregation, to offer our congratulations to them and to the Gardner family as well. Keep them in your prayers that the Lord will help them and bless them in coming days. So I think those are all the matters that we need to mention to you by way of announcement. We're going to sing a couple of choruses together just before we come to the children's address. He made the stars to shine, and then 1, 2, 3, Jesus loves me. So he made the stars to shine. There's a few actions that go with this one. If you know the actions, I'll try to do the right actions, but I'll be watching you to give me a wee bit of a lead. Okay, so what? He made the stars to shine. Then the other chorus is 1, 2, 3, Jesus loves me. So we learn a wee bit of counting as we're doing this one as well. Here she comes. 1, 2, 3, Jesus loves me.
Seven, we're going to
Amen. Very good. You've done very well. There's one other thing we're going to have just before we bring the address. We're going to ask the Sunday School Superintendent, our brother Mr. Ken Hartley, to come up and to say a few words to everyone that's gathered, and especially to the boys and girls. Ken wears a few hats, so he's always a busy man on a Sunday morning.
Well, folks, it's good to be back at Sunday school. We were off a long time, and it's good to be back. So, as the Reverend McMillan's already said, usually we have a prize given for attendance for the year before. But last season, with the COVID pandemic, we weren't able to meet last year at all. However, the church committee has agreed to give all the children at Sunday school and in the senior Bible class a voucher as a token of encouragement. And so we want to thank the church committee for their support and encouragement of the Sunday school work. The voucher is for Beulah Christian Bookshop in Newcastle, so you can call into the shop or use the voucher online. There are instructions in the envelope on how to use the voucher online. Each voucher has its own unique code, which you'll find on the back of the voucher, and you can use this to purchase goods online. The vouchers are on the table here at the front, and they're in alphabetical order, so parents and children can come up at the end of the meeting and receive their prize for what would have been attendance. So as the Reverend McMillan's already said, we have some babies in the congregation and tiny tots who are too young for Sunday school, and we have wee books for them too. So don't be shy, come up afterwards at the end and get your wee book for the babies. And finally, I just want to thank you for sending the children to Sunday school and for your continued support of the Sunday school work. And can we ask you to continue to pray that the Lord would keep these children safe from the virus, and that the Lord would keep them safe and well while under our care. Pray that our numbers would increase and that we would see souls saved, and that the children under our guidance would grow spiritually and learn more of the things of God. Can we also ask you to pray too for the Sunday school teachers? Pray that Lord would give them wisdom and guidance as they seek to bring God's message each week. It's been a bit different for us with open Sunday schools. We're trying our best, and we are continuing on, and we're just getting used to the new format. So I just leave these matters with you. All right.
We appreciate Ken speaking to us this morning. It's always nice to hear from him, and we do want him to know, and all the teachers and our brother Fred in the Bible class, that we appreciate all the time that is given to the work among the children and the young people. It is a very important, a vital part of the work in the ministry of the church, and we want you to know that we're very thankful for your involvement in it, the time and the effort that is devoted to it. We pray that the Lord will encourage you all in your work, and that your prayers will be answered. The Lord will give you much fruit in coming days. And we ask you just to help them. Do pray for the work of the Sunday school, the Bible classes, and do all you can to encourage other children, even the boys and girls as well. We ask you to help us with that, to encourage other children to come along to the meetings. Now, we're going to have a little children's address today. But before we do that, we're going to pray together. Remember what we did last Sunday morning? You put your arms out, wiggle your fingers, a wee bit of finger exercise, then we fold our arms and we bow our heads just for a moment. Father, we lift our hearts to Thee. We're glad that we can seek Thee and pray about everything. And we thank you for the meeting already. Thank you for being with us. Remember all that are present. Bless each one. We're glad, Father, as we're met in thy house, we can commit ourselves to thee for the week ahead. We pray for your safe keeping. We ask thee, Father, to be with us each one. Even as our brothers just said, we pray, Father, especially for the safety of the boys and girls. We ask thee to keep them all in health and strength. Do remember the work of the Sunday school. We lift it before thee, praying your blessing to be upon it. We ask thee, Father, to give the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but the Lord gave the increase. And Father, eyes are upon thee. We ask thee to encourage all the teachers. Pray that they'll know your help from week to week in their preparations. But we want to pray, Father, that you'd speak through them. We pray that the hearts of the boys and girls might be spoken to. And we want to pray that, like Samuel, that all of these children might be called to thee while they're still young. We're asking thee to remember, Father, those that are not able to be here today because of illness and sickness. Be near to them. Especially thank you for prayer that has been answered for our brother and sister Wallace and Lily. Thank you for bringing Mrs. Gillespie home again. We commit all of these dear servants to thee, and we're conscious, Father, of others in the congregation that have health issues, great challenges at this time. Be near to each one. We pray that you'll come, be near to them. You're able to supply our every need. You're able to supply the very personal needs of each one of us. And we ask thee, Father, to hear our cries for all in need in our congregation just at this time. So bless us now around your word. We pray that we'll know the Lord's presence, and we pray that you'll bless at every heart the word of God as it goes forth today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There we are. Up on the screen, boys and girls, the Guinness World Records. I wonder if you ever read that book. It's very, very interesting. You can see the 2019 edition and the 2020 edition. It's quite amazing the things that some people will do to get their name in the Guinness Book of World Records. There's actually a record for the person that stood in the shower the longest. Maybe in the mornings you think that somebody in your house holds that record. There's a world record too for the greatest miser. Isn't that amazing? So there's records for all sorts of things. It's a very interesting book to look through. But what I want is to think about today, especially, is some Bible records. I've said to you there's great records in the Guinness Book of Records, but you know, boys and girls, the greatest records of all in the history of this world are found in the Bible, in the Word of God. So this is the greatest record book ever. And I'm sure there's some of the great records that you're familiar with, that you know the answers to. Does anybody in the meeting know who was the oldest person ever to live? And it's not your granny or your granda, however old you think they may be. Who's the oldest? Methuselah. Good girl. Well done. So there's some very old people. Just take a wee look at those. 930 for Adam. 912 for Seth. 905 for Enos. Canaan 910, Mahalaleel 895, Jared 962. Enoch, he was quite young, wasn't he, compared to the rest? 365. And there's Methuselah, 969. Isn't that amazing? 969 years of age. So that's just 31 years short of 1,000. He lived for 31 years short of a whole millennium. And I want to emphasize to you, boys and girls, when you think of all of those ages and you find those stories or find a lot of those ages in Genesis chapter 5, you take a wee bit of time to read that, that they're actual years. They're just the same sort of years that you and I live, only they live very much longer. And there's a number of reasons for that that I'm not going to take the time to talk about this morning. So Methuselah was the oldest man. So here's another record, boys and girls. Who was the strongest man? ever to live. Samson, good girl. One of the judges of Israel, Samson. Great strong man. And I want to emphasize, boy, when you think of how strong Samson was, he didn't get his strength because he went to the gym. You know, a lot of people today go to the gym and they work out and they build up their fitness. Well, Samson didn't get his strength from doing anything like that. In fact, it was probable if you saw Samson, you wouldn't have thought he was that strong to look at. You know, there's some people, you look at them and you think, boy, he's really strong, or she's really strong. Well, Samson, I don't think, was like that. How he got his strength was from God. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the Holy Ghost. So that's how Samson got his great strength. And there's a number of great feats that Samuel did with us, or that Samson did with his strength. Here's the final one. Remember that the Philistines put out his eyes when they captured him, and he was in a house where the Philistines were feasting. It must have been massive, because it held 3,000 people. There was 3,000 men and women on the roof of it, it said. If you think of the Martyrs' Church in Belfast, it seats about just a little over 2,000. So it was even bigger than that. And he got to the pillars and pushed down the pillars, and the great house fell down, and it killed them all. So, went too far. So Methuselah, the oldest, Samson, the strongest. So who was the wisest man ever to live? There's another record for you. Does anybody know the answer to that one? I had the answer up on the screen there before I knew it. Well, shout it out. Too shy. Solomon, good man. We read a wee bit about Solomon in the Bible reading this morning. Solomon was the wisest man ever to live. And I want you to think with me a wee bit just about the story of Solomon this morning. Solomon became king of Israel, the whole of Israel, after Solomon, his son Rehoboam, came, and the kingdom of Israel was divided into Israel and Judah. So he was the last king to reign over the united kingdom of Israel. There'd been Saul, the first king. So who came after Saul? Who was Solomon's father? Who was the second king of Israel? Do you know the first name of the minister? Lydia. Shout it out. Good girl. David. So Saul, and then David, and then there was Solomon. He was the third king of Israel. And he went to Gibeon, because that's where they went to worship in those days. The temple hadn't been built. So he was down at Gibeon, and they were worshiping God. And it said in our reading that he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Imagine that. Just think of the vastness of that number. Think of all the time and work. So he was down at Gibeon, and he was worshiping God. And that night, whenever he was in bed, he had a dream. And in the dream, God spoke to him. I'm sure you've had dreams as well. Everybody has dreams. Isn't that right? Well, way back then, they didn't have the full Bible the way you and I have. This is a great blessing. We have the full revelation of God. So one of the ways that God spoke to people back then was through dreams. God can still speak through dreams today, but remember that dreams are not an infallible guide. If you're asking the Lord to show you his will for your life, you shouldn't depend upon dreams. This is the only infallible guide that God has given to us. You see, so Solomon had a dream when he was sleeping, and God asked him a question in the dream. And the question that God asked him was, ask what I will give you. You imagine that. Imagine God speaking to you today, and God says to you, what do you want me to give you? What do you want me to do for you? Wouldn't that be tremendous? Just God giving you that great open-ended invitation. So do you know what Solomon asked for, boys and girls? as he was in bed that night and God spoke to him. And remember, let me emphasize this to you. It's a great blessing when God speaks to us. Whenever you come to Sunday school, children's meeting, youth fellowship, church, Bible class, we should always want God to speak to us. If we go away and not hear God's voice, our time in church hasn't been profitable. So that's something you should always pray about. We're not just here to put in the time. We want to hear the voice of God. So that's a great blessing. So when God spoke to him, Solomon thought about that. And he was thinking about the kingdom. He was thinking about the greatness of the kingdom that God had made him king over, the ruler over. He was thinking about the great responsibility and how difficult that would be, dealing with people and dealing with the problems of people. So all those things were weighing on his heart. And the request that Solomon made was, he asked the Lord to give him wisdom. So I want you to know, boys and girls, that's the reason why. Remember, we're thinking about the oldest man, and we're thinking about the strongest man. Well, here's the reason why Solomon was the wisest man. The reason was, he asked God to give it to him. Some people are quite smart, isn't that right? They've got good IQ, great understanding of things. Some people are a wee bit cleverer than others, and that's a great thing to have. But remember that God can give you wisdom, boys and girls. And I want you to think about that today. The wisdom that God gave to Solomon. And that's one of the things that made a great difference to the time when he was king, the time when he was on the throne. He used that wisdom when he was ruling over the people, all the decisions that he had to make. People were constantly coming to him with their problems. One of the first problems that he had, there was two ladies came to him and they had a problem over a child, whose child it actually was. And he showed great wisdom. That was one of the first great demonstrations of the great wisdom that King Solomon had. And as a result of the ruling that he made that day and what he said, his wisdom went abroad throughout the whole land. So isn't that amazing that you can show such wisdom that people not just locally know about it, but people even across the country can hear about your wisdom. So he had great wisdom when he was ruling, and he had great wisdom too when he was building. Remember that Solomon was known as a builder. He built his own house. He built a house in the forest of Lebanon. That's way up just beyond the north of Israel. But the thing that Solomon was remembered most of all for building was the temple in Jerusalem. David had prepared it. David had wanted to build the temple. But the Lord didn't allow David to build the temple, especially because David had been a man of war. And the Lord said that his son would build the temple. So Solomon was the great builder. He built the temple in Jerusalem where the Jews would come to worship. And he showed his wisdom there as well. Great challenges with a building program, especially such a vast building program. You know something else, boys and girls, is that other people got to hear about Solomon's wisdom. They didn't hear about it just across the land of Israel. They heard about Solomon's wisdom in far off countries as well. This lady is the Queen of Sheba. Generally believed that Sheba is down in Africa, maybe in the region of Ethiopia. If you travel with Ethiopian Airlines, their reward program, you know, you build up points and so on for traveling, they call it Sheba Miles, because they're suggesting there that Sheba, or Sheba as they would pronounce it, that came from that part of Africa. The Bible describes her as the Queen of the South, so that certainly is south of Israel. So she lived in a far off land. And remember, they didn't have mobile phones and televisions and all the means of communicating that we have today. But she heard in her land about the wisdom of Solomon. And she was so impressed with the reports that she heard that she wanted to come to meet him. She wanted to come to speak to Solomon herself. So she did that. She came, the Bible says, with a great train. Now, the only sort of train that you maybe know about is the sort of fellow that goes from Portadown to Belfast. You ever been on the train? It's not always nice, isn't it, going a train journey? Well, the word train can refer to other things as well. In fact, it refers to vehicles and people that are in a great line. So this is a camel train, a great train. So always remember that if you're reading in the Bible about a camel train. That's what it means. In some countries like Australia, they have what they call a road train. So that's a big lorry that has maybe five or six trailers on the back of it. And in her camel train, she brought spices and she brought riches. She brought gold, all sorts of very precious things to give as gifts to King Solomon. And the Bible says she communed with him. In other words, they talked. They had very long conversations. And she communed with him of everything that was in her heart. And you know what the Bible says as well? It says that she came to prove him with hard questions. And I know that sometimes you might have questions that you think are very hard and you want to ask others. That's always good. Remember that. Remember that too, boys and girls. Good to ask questions. Sometimes you might ask questions of your parents or the Sunday school teachers, even of the minister, that we think are very hard indeed. Things that we have never thought about. But it's good to ask questions. You should never be discouraged from doing that, because that's one of the ways that you learn. But Solomon, because of his wisdom, he was able to answer all of the questions of the Queen of Sheba. And the Bible says that her response to all of that, all that she heard from Solomon, all that she saw in his kingdom, the half had not been told me. The reports that she heard, she hadn't even heard the half of Solomon's greatness and his wisdom and the kingdom over which he had ruled. You know, boys and girls, when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he spoke about the Queen of Sheba. And this is what he said. The Queen of the South, remember what I said to you? It's south of Israel. When you hear, read any directions in the Bible, it's generally directions from the land of Israel. Always keep that in mind. So the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation. That's a solemn verse, isn't it? There's going to be a judgment, boys and girls. A judgment day. We're going to meet the Lord. And we need to be ready for that day. And the way you get ready is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. So he says that the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. That gives you an idea of how far she came. The great journey. And the reason she came from the uttermost parts of the earth was to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And the Lord Jesus says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So here's a question, boys and girls, as you think of that verse. When the Lord Jesus said there's a greater than Solomon, who was he referring to? Who was he speaking about? Does anybody think they know? God, but especially the Lord Jesus. He was talking about himself. A greater than Solomon is here. I want you to think of this, boys and girls. The Lord Jesus is challenging, especially the people around him, the Pharisees. Some of them weren't even interested enough, curious enough, to come and hear him. She came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And a greater than Solomon was there, the Lord Jesus preaching the gospel. And many of them were so indifferent they couldn't even come a short distance to hear him speak. And of some that did, they really had no thought, no concern about their soul or the gospel message. So what the Lord wants you to learn from that verse is, just as the Queen of Sheba came to hear Solomon, the Lord wants you to come along to church and Sunday school to hear his word. And even more than that, he wants you to come to him and salvation. Can you read what the little sign that girl has in the top picture? Can you see it? It's a little four-letter word. Wait to see if anybody else can. Is anybody else, can they see it? Begins with H. What's the word? Is this, what is it? Help. We all need help, don't we? So you look at these people. They're faced with all the trials and challenges and difficulties and problems of life. And maybe that's just how you feel as you come to church this morning. There's circumstances and situations that are confronting you and weighing down upon you, and you're crying out for help, and you don't know what to do. You don't know the right thing to do in your circumstances. You don't know what to say or how to act. Well, you remember the verse we read at the beginning? If any of you lack wisdom, what do you do if you don't know what to say, what direction to turn? You ask of God. And God giveth to all men liberally. Not encouraging. God doesn't discriminate. Everybody that asks, so that includes us all, God will give you the wisdom that you need. And it says he'll give it liberally to you. He'll give it to you in abundance. You know, sometimes, happened to me a few times in school, I get told off by the teacher. Wee bit slow, wee bit stupid. Sometimes you get told off. That's what that word abrade means. Well, God never does that. If you come to him and say, Lord, I don't understand, not sure what to do, need your help, cry out for wisdom, the Lord will not tell you off. What it says is, it shall be given him. That's a great encouragement, boys and girls, for us to pray. If you ask, God will give it to you. And it's especially a great encouragement for us to pray for wisdom. And maybe when you're at school and university, and you're sitting in your classes, and there's a lot of pressure on you, and you just don't fully understand everything that's being taught and everything that the teacher said. Well, here's what to do, boys and girls. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Ask the Lord to give you the help. That girl's crying out for help. Maybe you're the same. Will you pray in your prayers every day? Ask the Lord to give you the wisdom that you need. Remember that there's divine wisdom. The word divine means to do with God. Divine wisdom. And you know where we have the divine wisdom? It's in the Bible. See that bottom Bible with the dust on it? Is your Bible like that? Hope not. That means that the Bible's neglected. That you don't read the Bible. You should read the Bible regularly, boys and girls. Read the Bible every day. It's important to do that. Bible's just like food. You need food every day. And your soul needs food every day. So I want to encourage, and parents, we encourage you to read the Bible and read the Bible to your children. Take the time to have that little quiet time together. So this is divine wisdom, boys and girls. That's why it's so important to read the Bible. God reveals himself to us. He reveals his will to us. God gives us great wisdom to help us in life and to guide us in life through this book. There's two books of the Old Testament. The reason I put those up is Solomon, under inspiration, especially wrote those two books, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes also means the preacher. Do you know how many Proverbs Solomon wrote in total? The Bible actually tells us. 1 Kings chapter 4. You can take a wee look for that later. Would anybody like to guess how many Proverbs Solomon wrote in total? Many do you think it is? 15? 20? 50? 100? 1,000? It's actually 3,000. 3,000 Proverbs. And there's another book in the Bible that tells a wee bit about Solomon and his life. Does anybody know the name of that book? That should be an easy one for you. It's actually got his name in it. What's the name of the other book that tells you a wee bit about Solomon's life? Starts off the Song of... what is it? Solomon. It's not right. Do you know how many songs Solomon wrote? 3,000 Proverbs. So many songs. Is that one in the Bible? 1,005. So you can see how busy he was. He wasn't sitting around just wasting time. He really devoted himself to study and especially to writing and things of wisdom. So the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, that's part of the divine wisdom God has given to us. And under inspiration, that's when Solomon was guided by the Holy Spirit. He wrote down a lot of very wise things for us to learn from. Some people in their Bible readings, they read a wee proverb every day. And that's a good practice, boys and girls, but I'll have to keep going. What sort of an animal is that, or what sort of a bird is that? An owl. These girls are very quick over here, aren't they? An owl. And owls are known for their wisdom, the wisest. So I want to tell you, as a finish, a couple of the wisest things that you can do, boys and girls. So I want you to sit very still, listen very carefully. I want to tell you some of the wisest things that you can do in your life. The first thing is receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. That's a very wise thing. You need to be saved. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need to be sure that you're going to heaven. And you see the word at the bottom there on the left? Receive Jesus Christ today. Today's the important day. Because today's the only day any of us are sure of. The Bible doesn't give us any guarantee of tomorrow. We hope you're going to live a long time, live to be old. But remember, you need to get saved now while you still can. Receive Jesus Christ today. As many as received him, that's the Lord Jesus, to them give he power to become the sons of God. So we want to encourage you, and I know the teachers will do that in Sunday school, the Bible classes. They'll encourage you every week to get saved, to be born again, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The other very wise thing I want to emphasize to you is you need to do the will of God. Do the will of God for your life. That's why you need to read the Bible, because it's in the Bible we find the will of God. God guides us how to live every day when we're here upon this earth. And especially when we think about the will of God, that's how you're going to use your life, how you're going to spend your life. There's two choices, boys and girls. You can either go God's way or you go your own way, my way. Remember that song that Frank Sinatra was so famous for, I did it my way. Well, that's really not how the Christian should live. Boys and girls, we should want to live our lives his way. We should want to know what God would have us to do. So you think of that question, what is God's will for my life? That's a very important question. And then the one at the bottom, how do we know God's will? How do you find out what God's will is? Well, you see the verse of Scripture? That's part of the story of how Saul of Tarsus came to Christ, how he was converted on the Damascus Road. That's the first prayer that Saul of Tarsus ever prayed. Very important prayer, boys and girls. What wilt thou have me to do? So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? So I want you to think about that, boys and girls. That's a very important prayer. Doesn't matter what age you are in the meeting. When you're making important decisions in your life, when you want to know what direction the Lord would have you go, how the Lord would want you to spend your life, what his will for you is, that's the prayer you need to pray. Not what I want to do. Not what others want me to do. Lord, what is it that you want me to do with my life? So those are two very important things, boys and girls. The wisest things that you will ever do is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then to do his will with your life. And we want to encourage you to do that. And I'll finish just by showing you these two verses. Notice on the left, the Lord giveth wisdom. Remember that. He's the one that imparts wisdom to us, just like he did for Solomon, the wisdom that we need. And then the other verse on the right says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sadly, there's not as much fear of God in the land and across the earth today as once there was. That word fear doesn't mean that you're terrified. You know, there's some people you're really afraid of. The idea of that word fear is that we're in awe of God because of his greatness, his power, because of his holiness. We're in awe. We're in reverence of God. And when you're in awe and reverence of God, the Bible says that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the first step, boys and girls, on the road to wisdom, showing and displaying wisdom in your life. So we want to encourage you all, as you come to church and Sunday school, to have that awe, to have that biblical fear of the Lord. So there's some Bible records. The oldest man, the strongest man, But we have thought today a little about the wisest man. And we would like you all to be wise. Wise, not worldly wise, wise before the world, but want you to be wise in the eyes of the Lord. We'd like to hear in coming days, people say, see that young fellow, that young girl went to Armagh Free Presbyterian Sunday School, Bible class, children's meeting, youth fellowship. They were known for being wise. There was a great influence upon them there at that church. That's a very good testimony for any of us to have. So we're going to sing our closing hymn. You've done very well, and we really appreciate that, and you've set up very, very well. 704 is our closing hymn. If I come to Jesus, he will make me glad. He will give me pleasure when my heart is sad. So we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4. We'll leave out the third verse, 1, 2, and 4, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Let's just say a little prayer as we close the meeting together. Heavenly Father, it is with thankful hearts we bow before thee at the close of the meeting. We thank you for all your love towards us. Thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. We thank you for the cross of Calvary, the death of the Lord Jesus. We praise thee, Father, that you've blessed us with thy word, with the message of the gospel. We pray that you'll use the Sunday school here, use it greatly. We pray that you'll speak to the hearts of the boys and girls while those hearts are still young and tender. And Lord, answer the prayers of this church and of all the teachers and leaders and all the parents. And we ask thee, Father, to bring all of our children to Christ. We pray that they will be wise. Your word says that the scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. So we commit ourselves into your care, asking for your presence right through this week. And we ask thee, Father, to go with us as we leave your house now. And our prayer is that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will be our abiding portion, we pray.